Hello and welcome to the Inner Gamer episode 165. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brian Oski.
And I am Austin Morales. And today we're going to talk about our experience at Fan Expo 2018. We dive into some drop mix that Brett is weirdly obsessed with.
Dropping them beats.
Dive into Far Cry 5. This is our second week of playing it, and we talk about the arcade mode, gaming news. Lawbreakers is finally shutting down in a way. Okay, it's not shutting down, but it's like it's kind of getting the cut.
April Fools, but not really.
We also talk about the best and the worst April Fools of 2018 in the gaming world. And then for our discussion topic, we discuss remastered games and what we want to see, our top five from the whole cast. But two aren't here, but you get all that. It's a good stuff.
You get everything.
Everything. So, without further ado, cue the music.
It's Chris Parson here. I'm the voice of Junkrat, and you are listening to The Inner Gamer.
Just remember, it's a perfect day for some mayhem.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Josh Peterzorf. You know me best as Roadhog, the one-man apocalypse. Reminding you, The Inner Gamer, check it out. Amazing podcast. All the guys, class act. The Inner Gamer, whole hog, one-man apocalypse. Yeah.
Yo, it's Johnny Cruz, and you're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is April 10th, 2018. Welcome to The Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we would love for you to support us on Patreon for as little as $12 a year. $12 is not a lot of money. That is like literally the cost of something at Hop Dotties if you live in Dallas-Fort Worth. Or it's also the cost of, what else can you get for $12?
Large pack of toilet paper.
Large pack of toilet paper. Yeah. So spare that toilet paper and donate to us on Patreon. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. But you can go to patreon.com/theinnergamer and you can donate to us. Or you can go to theinnergamer.net and click donate. And you can also do a one-time donation. So we would love for you to donate to us. That would be amazing and awesome to help us grow the podcast, get bigger, do more stuff, offer more content, see more people that you want to see us talk to and, you know, pick their brains and stuff like that. Speaking of which, we just got back from Dallas Fan Expo.
Yeah, we should talk on that.
Yeah, we can talk about that for a second.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So we have a Fan Expo, man. We went to Comic-Con and we got to talk to
Roadhog.
And we got to talk to Junkrat and Lucio. And we talked to cosplayers.
Lots of the I like to call them cause stars.
Cause stars.
I don't know. That's just a nickname I gave to them. You know, all the people that have their own booth. Those people. Yeah. We got to talk to them and hit them up a little bit. And, you know, it was fun. We had a lot of fun. Got to meet a lot of good people, which is why I love doing these conventions and making videos and stuff. Because, I mean, there's no, you can't meet these people anywhere else.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you could if you live in the same city, but most of the time, like, when are you going to find them?
I mean, think of how many times you walk down the street and you pass by these people.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that person could be a cosplayer. That person could be a voice actor. Or this person could be just a person that loves nerdy stuff and we need to talk, but you never talk to them because you never attended a Comic-Con. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool experience. I'm overwhelmed, though. It's such a retail, like, explosion of craziness.
I wonder how much money just switches hands at that thing.
Oh my gosh. Like a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's all fan stuff.
Yeah. Comics upon comics. There are some places that are like, yeah, buy 10 comics, get 20 free. Like, how does that work out?
Wow. They're just trying to push numbers at that point.
Yeah, basically. I was like, damn, that's pretty crazy. And these freaking, let's talk about these pop things for a second, these Funko Pops.
Yeah.
These have literally taken over everything.
So before you go forward, they've already taken over everything.
Well, yeah. So they're like everywhere.
Not where we were at, but no, it was where we were at. I don't know. One of the booths, like, they have Funko Pops for stuff from like 10 years ago at this point.
I didn't know they were around 10 years ago.
No, they are. They weren't around 10 years ago. But they're making stuff for products or
like characters
from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? Are they just like, everything's funneling into the Funko Pops.
And now every retailer, it's like comics and Funko Pops.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just comics anymore. It's not like collectible toys. It's Funko Pops. Gotta have the little bobbleheads of the characters.
It's crazy. But they're not even bobbleheads.
Right there.
Yeah. That's not even a Funko. Well, actually, that is a Funko thing.
I was going to say that.
It's a Funko bobblehead of the old Han Solo. Anyway.
Heck yeah. So
I actually, I've been trying to not buy any of them. I try not to jump into this fad, but.
You bought five.
No. I was close to buying two. I bought a Roadhog pop. And it's like the big ones. So it's like cooler than the normal ones that are fairly small. And I got...
That is big.
I got Roadhog to sign it for me.
Heck yeah. So, One Man Apocalypse.
One Man Apocalypse.
That's pretty legit.
Thanks.
Number 309.
Telling you, man. I'm down to get the Overwatch Funko Pops.
Yeah.
And I'm really like... I've been twiddling my thumbs thinking if I should get the Pharaoh one or not. Fans, everyone listening, should I get the Pharaoh Funko Pop? Let me know.
I know
somebody that knows somebody.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because they're like, at this point, you know, some like
Black
have a
market shit right here.
Like they have a rotation thing. So like they funnel into the market and then that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they're limited edition?
Some are, some aren't.
I guess so.
Like the one we got, this Roadhog Pop is only sold by the retailer we went to. And a limited run at GameStop.
Dang.
So GameStop will have it again apparently at some point. But right now these are limited.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah. It's like Beanie Babies for the 21st century.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Well, if anybody had a really cool story from Dallas Fan Expo that they want to share with us, you should send us an email, hello@theinnergamer.net, or just let us know on Facebook, because that would be cool. I want to hear what people experience while they were there. Because like we're isolated in this one experience, but think of like every single person that goes to this con, how different their experiences probably are. Like we had our press passes. We were going around interviewing people. Then other people like spent all their time like retail shopping and stuff like that. Some people spent all their time in panels. Some people spent all their time probably. I mean, there was even like a game section of people playing D&D the whole time. Probably. So like there was all these things happening and we didn't experience those things.
It's different being an adult for sure. Like I wonder what it would be like if we went as like, you know, we were in high school or like early college, like what would we do? Like now I just want to like meet people and talk to people, which is basically what I did when you and Devin went to that panel. I was taking pictures of cosplayers and I met some new podcast groups that I haven't heard of. They're based here in Dallas, but actually been around for quite a while. But
yeah.
I was just like, hey, how are you guys? Well, it's like, I find it really interesting chatting up these different people from different walks of life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, how did you get here? What are you doing here? You know,
what's your story?
Exactly.
We all have a story. Tell me your story.
Just, it's really interesting to me.
It is cool.
I enjoy looking at all the stuff, but I prefer to participate with the people.
Yeah.
So I'm sure people come here to just buy gobs of things.
Oh, yeah.
They just walk out with like backpacks full, you know, empty their bank account in like one booth.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't surprise me.
You could go, because especially the comic book artists in the back.
Yeah.
This time, like, that stuff's not cheap.
No.
To get like a signed copy or a signed print or have them draw something for it. Like, oof.
I saw some really badass metal sculptures of like different pop culture or like nerd culture characters and stuff of just made out of. I don't know if they're made of metal or what they're made out of, but they were really, really cool. Very industrial looking. And I liked it a lot. I was like, I want to buy this, but it's $200 and I don't want to spend $200 on something that I have to walk home with.
Right. Yeah.
Walk back to my car with.
Exactly.
And how am I going to carry this back? It's
everyone's pretty cool there. Like, I don't think anyone would steal your stuff.
No, definitely not.
But
I'm just talking when you get outside of it.
Well, yeah.
And it's like walking down the street and then somebody comes up to me like, hey, I want what's in your bag. And I'm like, no, you can't have it.
At gunpoint. And then
this is $200.
Because we're in Texas, we pull out our own guns and then crime is averted.
Maybe. Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm gonna give a random scenario.
So
go with it, Brett.
Anyway. So, Dallas Fan Expo, pretty awesome. We had a good time. Very exhausted. Feet hurt. All that good stuff.
Oh, man.
It
was the first day,
deadly.
I was on my feet for 5 hours.
You mean the second day? Because you didn't go the first day.
Yeah. Sorry. Second day.
The first day.
Yeah.
Devin went the first day.
Right. Right. So I couldn't tell if more people were here or everything was just more squished because they redid the whole space.
It was more spaced out because I didn't realize there's three floors to this.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of
two floors, but it's three floors.
It's kind of always been like that to some degree. Maybe not three.
Yeah. Because they had the panels all on the top.
Right.
And they spaced out the convention hall itself, I feel like, was bigger-ish. maybe it's just the way that they segmented it was bigger, but it seemed bigger. And then I forgot the third floor. I think the third floor was like the free play stuff. Like there was all these different games and things you can interact with and meetup rooms and things of that nature. So that was all in a different area. It's just a lot more spaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's comparable, I guess.
Yeah.
What was your favorite moment there? You bought some stuff too.
I did. I bought a Fallout board game. And then it was on sale. Think Geek was doing a flash special. So it was normally $60. I bought it for $40.
Hey.
So that was good. And then I bought some t-shirts. I got one that says Empire Surfs Back. That was pretty cool.
So for those who don't know, Brett's a nerd, but he's not a geek. But now he's kind of geeking out a little bit. I think that's the right term.
No, it's the other way around.
You're a geek, but you're not a nerd.
I'm a geek, but I'm not a nerd.
No, but you're a gamer, so you're like nerdy.
That's more, well, yeah, yeah.
I consider geek you're buying apparel. Like, Devin is a definite geek.
I look at it the other way. I think the nerd is the ones that are like a nerd is at Comic-Con. That's what I think.
Really?
But maybe not. I don't know. It changes a lot.
Listeners, what is a geek and what is a
difference?
Nerd?
Let's have a discussion talk about that later on. Just kidding. But I just think of like geeks are people that are like geeky about technology or like I'm geeky about computers.
Well, it's almost interchangeable because I feel like
nerds are like into nerd culture. It's like that's the phrasing of like geek culture is different than nerd culture, but nerd culture is like pop culture stuff. Like I'm into comics and this and that. I don't know.
So Brett's one but not the other. And now he's becoming more of both.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely. Like we're
slowly.
We're thrusting slowly. Him in. Plus what do you call it? You don't buy just on whim.
No. I'm a very thoughtful, I'm not an impulse purchaser.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you.
I do not do impulse buys. This
was my pop figure was an impulse buy, but for a very good reason.
It's pretty badass.
It's signed.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a collectible from this point forward.
Yeah. Thank you for leaving it here. I'll take good care of it.
So yes, we're done with Fan Expo. Before we move on, I just want to say we're going to have a lot of video content dropping this week. So stay tuned from Monday through, well, probably the following week. We're going to have a lot of content.
Just subscribe to youtube.com/theinnergamer and you'll know the second a video comes out. Make sure you have push notifications on our channel. Like you should have, if you don't have any push notifications on, there should be push notifications for The Inner Gamer. Yeah, we got to jump into some video games here. So
no, we don't.
Yeah, okay. A little bit. I mean, this is still like nerdy, but it's different. So I played a new game, came out last year, so I'm a bit behind on playing this. But this is a combination between a board game and a video game.
What is it?
Drop Mix.
Oh, damn it!
Yes, Drop Mix. So anybody out there that's listening, I don't know if anybody's heard of this. Probably not. But this is one of the world's best kept secrets in history.
Wow.
So Drop Mix is made by Harmonix, the guys that developed Rock Band and DJ Hero and all that stuff. And they teamed up with Hasbro, the board game creators, and made this pseudo board game video game thing. So it's one part app, one part card game. So you have this like plastic board and it's got six slots on it. I believe it's six slots. You have six slots and each one has different colors on it. Some can have multiple colors. So you'll have yellow, blue, green, red. Those are the main colors. And then you have these white cards that are like special cards. So every card serves a different purpose. So the green cards are drum tracks, for example, or percussion tracks. So basically they take all these really popular songs that people know about. Like there's one that they have a lot of cards for Cakes, Short Skirt, Long Jacket. They got some more modern pop music like Demi Lovato. And they have they also have some heavy-duty rock like Disturbed, Down With The Sickness. Like all these different type, like things from different genres. So they cover pop, electronic music, rap, R&B, and then rock. Yeah, so that's the gamut that they cover. And they have little pieces from each one. So you buy the thing and it comes with this plastic piece, and then it comes with a set of cards. And you download an app on your phone, and then all you have to do is Bluetooth the app to the board. And the board reads these, I think they're like RFID chips inside the card.
They have to be.
As you lay it down, it detects what card it is and plays it through the app on your phone, which is crazy. So you can lay down, say, a drum track from The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face, and that starts playing the drums, just the drum track of that song. And then you say, like, I want to pull in the trumpet track from Cake. So you lay down the trumpet track, that starts playing. And then you want to throw in the vocals from, say, Bruno Mars, 24K Magic. Drop that down. And then you have the guitar track from, you know, let's throw out Fall Out Boy, Centuries. They have that in there. So you have all these different genres of music that you're throwing down just a piece of the song. So you can hear like a hint of it, especially if they have a really iconic like a set of chords to that song. It sounds awesome. And you put these together and you create a mix of music. And then the white cards are basically like enhancers to that. So you can take a guitar solo and then make it sound like it's a filtered electronic track instead of a guitar. So it's like you're using a different mixer on it. Like you're adding some kind of, synchronize, like something to it that makes it sound different. And then you just build out tracks. So that's the freestyle mode. And they have party modes to it where you can like battle each other. So build different mixes that generate points to either battle between your friends, or you can do a cooperative mode where you're trying to beat a high score by making different mixes that sound better and more fluid and things of that nature. And it's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I feel like this game was made for you.
I think so.
But the sad part is I feel like it's too niche of an audience. Like it captures, I think, a lot of what Rock Band and what was the other one?
Guitar Hero. Yeah.
Like have. But I mean, how much were those? Like if you just bought.
Now, if you bought it when it first came out, it was $100, which is way too expensive. So it came with like 50 or 60 cards, and then it came with
I meant like Rock Band and
Like if you bought the whole set of Rock Band.
Okay, it's just Guitar Hero because that's a little cheaper.
If you bought Guitar Hero, it was $100.
$100, also. Okay. And Rock Band was more, wasn't it?
Rock Band, I think it was like $150, $199 if you bought the guitar, the drum set, the vocal, the microphone.
Actually, it sounds reasonable, surprisingly, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, there's a lot here. And damn, this must have been expensive to make, just to make this game.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because that whole complex of things that need to connect and work well, and then on top of it, having to try to figure out a game mechanic for music to make points and win, that must have been just, I mean, kudos to them to actually figuring that out.
And it's all just an iOS app.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't want to say it's revolutionary. It is a little bit.
I think
the way it's set up, it is. Like, I like to see more things like that, but not just music. Like, can we have a card game that does something like that, that goes to an iOS app that maybe, I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing out straws here, but I mean, I think the concept can be expanded upon with other games, especially card games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a cool idea. I mean, like their intention is that you have a party, you bring your friends over, and normally you just put on like your own personalized playlist of music. Well, this allows the party to interact in a gamified way with the mix of what's happening, or you can make predefined mixes and just have them run. And my negatives to it is that it's a really cool concept. The technology is incredible, but it's not something that you would sit there and play for 4 hours or like spend 3 or 4 hours playing. It's just something that, if you're pre-gaming for a party or whatever, do that for a little bit, play with the cards. It's kind of fun. Have a few drinks, whatever, go out, do your thing, and that's it. But there's that. And then after a while, the song library, like the tracks that you have, can get stale because it's kind of like with Cards Against Humanity. You know, you can only play them so many times before it's like, I've used this card so much.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm done. I don't want to use this anymore. And then, so I did buy some expansions for it. So there's like expansion packs of cards that you can get for different genres. So there's like a hip hop expansion. So I bought that and it had some tracks from Outkast. It had some old school Salt and Peppa. It had all these different.
What was that?
Salt and Peppa. all these crazy things. And then I bought an electronic mix, which had some, it didn't have Skrillex, but it had a bunch of different songs, and it was cool. Like that was nice to help expand that palette a little bit, but still, it's not something that I would see myself a year from now still continually playing. Kind of like Rock Band. You know, Rock Band had its time, its heyday, and then it just fell off slowly as time went on. But if you like music, if you like games, and you have friends that like to hang out with you, this is a cool thing to try.
Yeah, I feel like if you have a party every so often, it's a good thing to break out, and people might look forward to coming over and trying it. It's one of those things that you don't want to play too much, but just enough will keep it interesting. So play it sparingly, I feel like.
Definitely.
That's just my thoughts. I don't know.
Definitely.
So, Brett, we jumped into Far Cry some more. I played about 15 hours at this point. I'm at the second. Was I at the second? I just got to the second area.
No,
when we
talked. Yeah, because you said you had just finished Faith.
Yeah. So I'm in the second area, and I'm trying to get to the boss battle, and I'm super close to it. But after 15 hours, I think the way that the game moves the story along is getting a little stale, and it's not, the pacing isn't there. They leave it open for you to do a lot of extra side stuff, and I'm just like, well, that's great and all, but like, I know some people love the world and love to jump into it, and I do too sometimes. Like, when I first started this game, I was just like, man, I really want to explore this world. So huge. I'm sure there's a lot of in-depth stuff, a lot of hidden, you know, Easter eggs you can find in here, but
there's a lot of found footage and notes and things of that nature scattered around. Like, when you do a mission or whatever, you walk into somebody's place.
Yeah.
If you look around their house, like, you're going to find audio recordings, you're going to find little letters on their table, stuff that gives you more insight into the story lore.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I like reading that stuff.
Yeah. It's for the most part I do for this. And I'm okay. I'm like, okay. It's there for people who want it. You know, I was never huge into that, but I like it when like it replays and you can continue walking around and doing your stuff as you listen to it.
Right.
Like, I don't, it doesn't do it here. Anyway, so I feel like the two regions I've been in, the former has definitely been superior to the latter. And after playing that, like this one I'm in now is not as exciting as the other one. So I'm kind of losing interest, but I did jump into the arcade mode and I see a lot of appeal in that. And I can see why I think Ubisoft did a good thing here. And I can see Far Cry 5. I don't want to say challenge GTA 5, but I feel like Far Cry 5 is going to actually be around for a little longer than it normally would be because of this arcade mode. And I can't remember if we discussed anything about it.
No, we haven't discussed it at all.
Okay, cool.
So the arcade mode is basically Far Cry multiplayer, but it's all based on user generated content. So we had talked about several podcasts back where Far Cry 5 was coming out with a map editor, and I was really excited about that because I used to build maps in Crysis back in the day, and it was awesome to like throw together, just be able to build this world and do all these things. So they released the map editor, and I played around with it for probably 3 or 4 hours one night and was building a island based map with different little tiny islands all throughout, and I made the water levels, I added the foliage, some palm trees, started putting in spawn points, and was getting all that stuff together. So it's definitely a true to form map editor. Like, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not, simplified in the UI. It's very much probably the map editor that they use for the game, honestly. But those maps that you make, you can instantly publish them into the Far Cry 5 arcade. And then when they're released into the wild, as you're playing deathmatch, team deathmatch, I think it's 5-on-5 is the standard game type. Players vote on these maps. Like, they have a list of them that they throw out there at everybody. Everybody votes to pick what they want, and then you jump into a map. And then you play through that map, you do the match, and then what's cool about it too is that every map designer can also define loadouts for that particular map. So you can say, well, this is a futuristic, Blade Runner type map. So I'm going to set up weapons that have the feeling of Blade Runner or whatever, or have names that have that relationship. And at the end of the map, they say thumbs up or thumbs down. You vote on it, and that's how you can curate the content. So it helps to, as people are playing through this stuff, they're getting exposure to these maps. And can, like, the people that are really good at it are getting these badass maps up at the top of the list. and it's something that can just grow and flourish over time. And what I thought was fascinating is that not only do they have assets from Far Cry 5, but they give you assets to use that are built into the editor from Far Cry 5, Far Cry 4, Far Cry 3. They have, I think they have Blood Primal. Dragon in there. They got Primal. They even have Assassin's Creed.
Unity and Black Flag.
All kinds of different assets you can pull from like so many games. So there's a lot of potential here. I've seen some Call of Duty maps people have been building. We talked about previous podcasts. Somebody made Deed Dust in the game. So it's pretty legit. I was thoroughly impressed. There was a lot more to it than I expected. And that's smart because they can focus on Far Cry 5, the game, and let the community build out the multiplayer side of things, essentially.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Has this been done before? It's been done before to an extent, but I haven't seen it done like this, at least not that I remember.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
There's been map
really
editors.
Done
I mean,
that kind of deal. I mean, they
StarCraft
have it's
and
not as seamless
Warcraft.
Of a publishing system where you can
right.
yeah, you know, use map settings and stuff like that. But this is like the whole entire multiplayer is built around community generated content, which is pretty uncommon.
Yeah.
And I thought that stuff was like dying because nobody's brought out a map editor for a game in a while. Let alone allow you to mod it. So I'm curious to see if they do have that ability where you can then later, you know, mod, add your own custom assets into it and things of that nature.
So side note, you back in the day were working on a mod in the Crysis engine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this is it. This really reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Diving into it. It's quite overwhelming. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to get going after I messed with it a little bit and I was like, man, you know what I really want to make? I really want to make a zombie, like little mini zombie level in this game. I think
yeah,
it'd
be
really cool. But obviously, it's great because they have a lot of stuff already done for you. So I'm sure you just kind of pull it in and then rename it and, you know, like all the gamey aspects of like actual coding, you don't even have to do most of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have the ability for you to jump in there and do it. I'm just like, man, this stuff gets me pumped, but at the same time, I'm scared because I know if I really wanted to dive into it, I could just put all my time into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't know if I could do that. That's why I don't like After Effects. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just so cool, but just too much.
It's overwhelming. I mean, it's something you got to really stick with. And some people are doing it, and I'm honored for that because it gives me cool stuff to play.
Right.
I played this one map. It was like called Wasteland or something like that. Really nicely designed. Lots of kind of flooded urban environment. The only downfall was there was a spot in the back corner where they built a sniper tower that a guy who was really, really good had found a sniper in the game, went up there in that little tower, and it was just like popping people as they came through the alleyway
Dang.
By their spawn point. So it had some balance issues.
Right, right.
But ultimately, like the way it was designed, it had like three tiers to it. So there's one side, the other side, and then there's this middle area where you can get up into the second floor and like shoot down in the alleyways. In between the two people's sides. So even though it was very clearly structured, it felt like there was a lot of variety in there. And it looked really nice. Like they put a lot of detail into it. So
heck yeah.
I liked
so
it.
About a month or so, 2-3 months, we're going to start seeing these really awesome maps come out, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And if you guys still playing Far Cry 5 or are playing Far Cry 5 and make a map, let us know. Shoot us a link. I like to play it. See what the community is building because I feel like we're going to have some really cool stuff coming out soon.
Yeah, and they can make solo and co-op modes too
yeah,
with
that's,
the maps,
that's
which is
really,
crazy.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to PUBG real quick. We got less than 3 minutes. Try to wrap this up.
Let's hold on. Let's do PUBG and gaming news.
Oh, I'll talk about experience.
Okay, fine.
It was great. All right, moving on.
Okay. All right.
You ruined my little slot, my landslide there, Brett. My momentum.
Did you play Tequila Sunrise?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I played one match.
Okay.
And I got obliterated.
Did you?
I did.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was an idiot. Let's just say that.
All right, well, we'll talk about it real quick. So, PUBG is starting to do events, much like Fortnite. I think they're learning from Fortnite's success that they need to start changing up the experience a little bit. So they're working on that new map that they had in closed beta just last week actually, which we played very early build of it, but it's still a cool looking map. It's much smaller, more contained, but they're starting to do events. And this past weekend they had what's called Tequila Sunrise, which is set in Miramar. Is that the name of the map?
Yeah, Miramar. Yeah.
So it was set in Miramar, and everybody drops into the map. Right when you start into the plane, all you see is there's already a circle on the map. So you know where the destination point is going to be at the beginning. So it pushes people to go near that circle, which for one, that's going to like make people die a lot faster because it cuts out three quarters of the map. And then you drop in, the only thing available is shotguns and melee weapons and health packs. And that's it, which is awesome.
I really like it.
Yes. So I was playing, I think I played six matches of it, maybe seven. I don't know. Played a lot of matches of it and I had a blast because I got a couple of chicken dinners. But what was nice about it is that because it's all shotguns, like typically you're in Myanmar and you're walking down the street, you see a guy in the distance and you're like, holy shit, I'm going to get away from that guy because he's going to pop me with a sniper rifle or some kind of crazy shot. Well, this game, you have shotguns. Shotguns don't shoot that far. So I was like, instead of me running away from somebody in the combat, I was like, let's squad up and go take this guy out. So we're like chasing people around the map, which completely changed the dynamic of the game. It was awesome. Like we had me and I was playing with Travis and Sarah and then our buddy Scott, who's a podcast fan of ours. And we were all playing together and it was just absolutely crazy. We found this four-man squad wiped them. Another four-man squad heard us, showed up, squad wiped them, 8 kills in like 5 minutes. It's great. And it's then we won. We didn't get that round.
Ridiculous.
It was great. So
yeah, no, it's really good. Yeah. Good on PUBG. We need more like it. More quickly though. Like get that shit out there.
Yeah.
ASAP.
No, I agree. Yeah. Like, I think they got the ability to do it. I mean, because all they have to do is just change some code settings, mm-hmm. like change some zeros to ones to zeros, and
right.
call it a day.
And then quickly, the new map came out, and it's a lot of fun. Way shorter, like they've been saying, and the action gets going pretty quickly, and before you know it, it's just so it's over. Wait, I thought you were still talking about Miramar.
No, I talked about that before I started talking about Miramar.
Oh, what the fuck, Brett?
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm looking at the camera, but people can't see my expression.
Yeah. Just failing miserably over there. Yeah.
Sad face.
But it is a good map. It's a cool map. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, right.
There's textures missing in the map, which is weird, but it's kind of cool to like go in.
It was the
central
beta.
Point. Where,
it was the beta.
Well, yeah. But I mean, just like it was just so crazy to see a map so early in development, like released. Like the fact that they're doing that now is pretty cool because that allows people to get feedback in the map before it actually gets out there.
Right.
But like playing that big, huge open square that like, I think it was like a Chinese like fortress town or whatever. Like it was just all gray. It's like, this is so crazy. They don't even have textures in here yet. It's so weird to see that palm trees that were like a palm tree. And at the bottom, the base of it was just gray. It's like, that's so funny. it was pretty funny.
Anyway,
to see all that.
So
cool.
Fan Expo video games. Moving on to gaming news.
So we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
We're actually talking about gaming news today. Hello and welcome back. Today, in
hey,
this
Brad.
Segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And I want to mention that last week was April Fool's Day. April 1st. It was also Easter Sunday. And we had mentioned on the podcast, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of funny jokes going around with the video game industry, but they hadn't come out fully yet. Now they have. So let's talk about the best and worst April Fool's Day jokes for 2018. Thanks to Kotaku for gathering this list that we are stealing from because they have a very good list. First and most important one.
Amazing. This is amazing.
This is amazing. Final Fantasy 14 Online. Go.
So the bit is they made a selfie stick that you use for this Go app for them, and you can actually chop down trees with your phone or go fishing, and you actually end up breaking your phone or losing your phone in the pond. And I was like, I mean,
but at least you got that achievement.
At least you got that achievement. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what would happen in real life. Like all the crazy stuff people know at Pokemon
Go already. Yeah,
this isn't very far fetched.
No, just, it's not.
It's more practical than anything. More realistic.
It's the funniest thing. They're like, yeah, we spent so much time building this incredibly intense, awesome stick for multi-purpose everything. And then here's where the selfie stick, you put your phone on. And then the guy's like attaches a fishing reel to his selfie stick and he pulls it back. He throws it in the water to go fishing and his phone flies out in the water. Goodbye, phone. So that was pretty good.
Goodbye, phone.
There was a game. This game Enlisted is a World War II game that is, I think it's in development still. I don't know if it's out yet. But they did a fun little April Fool's event called Enlisted Cuisine Royale, where everybody walks around with helmets that are made of colanders and frying pans and things, which isn't really that far-fetched because, you know, there's a frying pan in Call of Duty or in PUBG, but it's hilarious seeing people running around in like their underwear and holding kitchen utensils as they attack each other.
I would play this in a heartbeat. Like, I totally would get into this. This is amazing.
Yeah. And one of the, so they have this thing where they advertise what it's going to be about. And they're like, dinnerware will finally be able to show off its true potential only in Cuisine Royale. And it's got the most honest system for loot boxes. For the first time in the history of computer games, free loot boxes scattered around the battlefield. And they're free to open. Their content's well labeled. And the drop chance of what is said to be inside is a 100% guarantee. Hilarious. I love it. I love it. So that was pretty funny. They also made a Path of Exile Royale, which you see, like, Path of Exile is like a top-down or like an isometric RPG. And there is a video I was watching of it where the guys are running around. They're getting attacked by like hordes of people. And you see this like red electric field that's coming around the side of them and stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, that's so,
oh,
so
bad. One island.
One April. This is pretty glorious.
It is just greatness.
Let's see what else we got here. We also have Pokemon put out a Team Rocket taking over the Pokemon channels in order to finally get Pikachu. So it was set up like Anonymous's videos. GeForce launched the GeForce Academy of Gaming, where you can enroll in their academy. You can choose from different majors such as hardware studies, esports management, or gameosophy. If you choose gameosophy, for example, you can take classes such as Econ 499, loot boxes, a Socratic seminar, or Philosophy 456, the cake. Is it really a lie? A portal into philosophy.
Oh my gosh.
Urban studies and planning, surviving disasters in SimCity. What's a Fortnite? Coping with the challenges faced by older gamers.
Wow.
So good. So you can actually write it. I guess guessing registering just basically puts you on their email list, but that was pretty clever.
So PlayStation.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is even better. Ever wish your PlayStation gaming experience was a little less digital and a whole lot more analog? So it's a board game for PlayStation. So PlayStation's a board game.
With the all-new non-animated graphics and zero AI, this will let you experience the mild thrills of moving game pieces on cardboard. Who needs a headset when you can shout angrily at your friends across the table?
Non-4K resolution game board. Pens and paper to draw your own trophies.
Draw your own trophies.
Rule books, six of them, in fact. Intense local multiplayer action up to four players and large and small dice. So many dice.
So many dice.
Oh, man. Play everything.
Rock Band released a picture, Rock Band 4, and they said, it's a tweet. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and preview a new mode coming soon to Rock Band 4, where you can select from mindfulness, managing anxiety, finding your focus, restoring, or self-esteem. Take calm in your Rock Band 4 mindfulness experience and meditate.
World of Warcraft did something, but I'm not even going to get into that. It's just too much. Too much. All this is just too much. Shovel Knight 64. Oh my gosh.
The next generation from a few generations ago is finally coming to us.
That's amazing.
And then Payday made the animated series a throwback cartoon. That was funny. League of Legends brought out some April Food skins. Pokemon Go is getting a graphical upgrade where they take you back to the early days of 8 and 16-bit.
Oh, man. So good. So it's good.
Awesome. Oh, and Blizzard. This is my favorite one. Blizzard said that we're finally getting a dance game worth loving. It's a World of Warcraft Dance Dance Revolution.
I'm telling you, people would play this shit.
They really would.
Like, this stuff is supposed to be funny, but, like, literally, it's practical. It makes a lot of sense.
World of Warcraft Dance Battle. So good.
I don't know if this shows how just, like, crazy stupid we are to, like, actually want to try this. That might just be me. But
it's just you.
Yeah. Just if anyone else wants this stuff, like, please leave a comment, shoot us an email. Like, I want to know. I don't want to be the only one out here just geeking out over this non-existent products.
It's pretty fantastic. So if you're curious to learn about all the great jokes that all these developers brought out on April Fool's Day, go to Kotaku, search for the best and worst April Fool's jokes for 2018. And it's pretty great. They had some good stuff. Next story we have is Lawbreakers, the game that was long forgotten very quickly, unfortunately. Developer Boss Key. This is the studio that is headed by Cliff Bleszinski from Gears of War fame. He has come out. They've come out of hiding for a little bit and announced that basically Lawbreakers is going to be, they're calling it quits. They're moving on. It didn't get enough players.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah, it's a bummer to me because the game's great. Like, it's a good game. It's just I have a bunch of other games I'd rather play. Like, it's one of those things where it came at the wrong time, and that there's all these like hero-based shooters that are coming out that have more interesting characters that I'd rather play than play a game where you're playing a shooter where it is a hero, quote-unquote, shooter, but the characters you don't fall in love with. And, you know, none of them have their own personality or interest or intrigue or whatever. So,
right. Same issue with Overwatch and Battleborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even those did have interesting characters. It's just, it was just bad timing because it was right when Overwatch came out. And Overwatch is definitely something special. But what they have said is that they are going to basically, they're going to continue to support Lawbreakers a little bit, but they're not going to do anything new or crazy to it. They thought about making it free to play, but rather than doing that, that's a lot of work to do. So instead they're going to put a pause, not bringing new content out to it, and then switch over to starting a brand new game in which it's a passion project that they have complete control over. So whatever that might be, we'll see. But, yeah, Lawbreakers is moving on. Boss Key, they're doing some other stuff, and, that's that. This is interesting. Yes. Shadow of War is removing microtransactions 6 months after release.
Better late than never, I guess. I mean, why now? I guess, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, cool. Great. Okay, great. For me, like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like this is like, okay, been here, done that. Like, I don't know what the average player rate is right now, but I feel like this game is done right now. Like, who plays this game?
Yeah.
Who's still playing this game?
Well, they said that it's the reason they removed it is because, oh, they have DLC that's coming out. I think they just brought something out or they're about to bring something out. So there's that. But they said that they finally realized that in order to restore the core promise of the Nemesis system, they're going to permanently remove those because it, you know, didn't make, like, it affected negatively the purpose of what the Nemesis system was, which is, I mean, you have a better understanding of it than I do because I didn't play Shadow of War that much or Shadows of Mordor. But essentially, from my understanding, is the Nemesis system is something where as you fight leaders of people or whatever, they basically get harder and harder to fight because they get, I mean, like, it, like what is that? It's a progression system of some kind, but like you build up bosses over time, the more you fight them and they get harder to fight or how does that work?
If you don't defeat them, they come back even more powerful.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. It was the other way around. Yeah. So, in this case, like you could buy, I guess, characters and stuff like that. And, I don't know. They just said it affected the Nemesis system in a negative way. So they're like, let's move on, do something else, and not have that in there. So
I'm surprised they're still supporting this game at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, like, I feel like games are coming out at such a high pace. Like, you can't have these. I don't know. I guess we're not the.
Loot chests are still there, though. That still exists.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like this is one of those games, like, why are you still supporting it? But I guess that's the hero there.
Well, no, because I mean at the end, apparently at the end game, there's still like a lot of stuff that happens, like Shadow Wars or something like that. Did you ever beat it?
No, I didn't beat it. Okay, Travis actually tried really hard to beat it, and like, yeah, I don't really remember at this point, but there was something with the ending where you had to do all this stuff, and it just got super hard. Oh yeah, because you had to get all your bases up to a certain level to get like the final ending, and if you couldn't do that, like you have to go fight these other battles as your bases got attacked, so you have to come back and rebuild them up, and there's just this constant, like, you have to put a lot of hours into it, and it just didn't seem worth it.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yep, exactly.
A lot of work, and I don't want to spend on that.
Too much.
That's okay. I mean, but it's good that we're seeing that, so that's good.
Yeah. This next article, though.
Yeah.
Sweet. Super sweet.
Spider-Man, it is coming out in September. They finally announced it. We're going to get it September 7th. Can't freaking wait. And they also said that there will be no microtransactions whatsoever in the game. And you'll have unlockable suits. Uh-huh. So you can make Spider-Man your own.
Oh, yes.
So that's kind of cool.
Talked about it before, but for those who may be just tuning in for the first time, me and Devin, I don't know about you, but we loved, I think Luis as well, in the 2004 version, just running around the city being Spider-Man.
Oh, dude, I played the hell out of that game.
Okay.
I have like 40 hours in that thing. Yeah. Just like bouncing
around. Just flying around, yeah. Doing cool
shit.
It was
great.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So now that Insomniac Games has it, I'm curious to see. It's just going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm not even curious. I know it's going to be good.
No, it was fun. I don't even think I beat the story in it, but I just
spent
the entire time just like flying through, like just fighting bad guys and going from end to end, seeing how tall of a, see if I get to the tallest building and
just jump
off all kinds of different stunts and whatnot.
So cool.
It was amazing. I really liked it. But some of the costumes they're going to have is Spider-Punk. So it's a combination of a sleeveless denim jacket and spike mohawk. Adds a strange ability of allowing Peter to pull out a guitar and play a sonic shockwave knockdown attack. And they have a noir version that's based off the Spidey spinoff set in 1933, a wrestling suit, which is pretty cool. So there's going to be a lot of suits, and that's pretty exciting. I just like that you can put your own personality into your character. So that'll be pretty fun. And when they asked him about microtransactions, his response was, hell no.
Hell no. Yes. Hell no.
Everybody's heard. I mean, at this point, it's like people realize that they don't want microtransactions. And you just understand that.
Right.
Find a different way to introduce microtransactions. Anyway, last story of the day. We have a new remastered game coming out this year. Last year, we had Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. It came out and it was very, very successful. People loved it. They were like, I'm so glad I have Crash Bandicoot back. And this year we're getting something that to me is more near and dear to my heart. Spyro the Dragon remastered. The Spyro Reignited Trilogy coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. September 21st. So not only do we get Spider-Man on the 7th, but then we get September 21st, Spyro Returns. And then we're going to get Red Dead Redemption in October.
So how pumped are you?
Or when?
For somewhere. This game.
I'm excited.
You gonna get it?
Yeah.
You gonna play through it?
I love Spyro.
Oh yeah, it was a great game. I played it. I think it was one of my first PlayStation games that I played. Yep. But I don't know where I sit on this.
It's a purple dragon, man.
What more
can you love?
Like, I know it was a good game at the time. I just don't know if I want to get it, sadly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Yep.
I'll decide when it comes out.
Well, they did say it's been remade from the ground up with improved environments, updated controls, brand new lighting, and recreated cinematics. So that's pretty cool.
Sweet.
So I'm excited. Like $39.99. So $40. You get all of them. It looks great. It looks absolutely great. Like seriously, like look at this.
No, I know. Yeah, I've seen it.
But like, oh my gosh.
No, it looks
the differences,
flipping fantastic.
The differences. It's amazing. There's blades of grass, guys and girls. There's blades of grass in Spyro the Dragon. I love it.
The grass, yes.
Yeah, it's just incredible. It looks amazing.
No, yeah, no, I completely
think that game's great.
Yeah, so, heck yeah.
There we have it, folks. There's stuff happening. We got Spider-Man coming out. We have microtransactions going away. We have Spyro the Dragon releasing. We have more games coming out this year. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be pretty crazy. And yeah, so if there's something that we missed that you want to hear us talk about, email us at hello@theinnergamer.net. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, give us a review and rating on iTunes. It helps us grow, helps us get seen. It helps people find us in searches. That would be awesome. And we'll be right back after the break with our discussion topic. So,
you're listening to The Inner Gamer.
So,
what's the discussion topic over this week?
All right. So, we want to talk about this. There's been a lot of remastered games coming out, remastered or remade games. So, we're like, let's have a discussion briefly about some of our games that we want to see remastered. Because last year we had Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy that came out. Previous year before that, we had Uncharted, the remastered collection. We have Spyro the Dragon coming out this year. We also have Medieval that's coming out later on. Like, there's all these things that are being remastered. We just had Shadow of the Colossus. Like, things are happening.
You said Spyro?
I said Spyro.
Okay.
So, all these things are coming out, and I want to talk about our top five picks. Mine are really good. Austin's are okay. Top five picks.
Devin, I wish you were here right now.
Oh, I know.
He would just...
I know.
I wonder what his... Well, we'll get into it.
I know, seriously.
We'll get into it.
So we're going to do our top five picks for things that we would like to see remastered in the future. Now, obviously, none of these have been announced yet, but we're holding true to the hope that these will get remastered at some point in the future. So let's start with number five. Five is going to be our least most wanted remastered game, but that's okay because they're all equally wanted. More so in Austin's case, probably. But for me, I have a definitive least to favorite list. Starting with Austin, let's go with you.
You want to go with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I had to pick... So, side note, or quickly note, all my games are Star Wars.
No. We can't reveal that.
Why not?
Damn it.
It's too late. Why would we not reveal that?
Because I wanted it to be like the hype going at the end. People would be like, I want the comments to come in and be like, do you realize they're all Star Wars games?
Of course they're going to realize that. I want them
to troll you. I want them to troll the hell out of you.
You failed.
By the fact that they're Star Wars.
No.
Okay.
They would have trolled me. They'd be like, this guy knows what he's talking about over here.
So Austin's games are all Star Wars.
All Star
Clearly
Wars.
Clearly, he has never played any of the games except for Star Wars.
So while researching this, I didn't realize how many awesome Star Wars games there were
Two
growing
minutes
up.
Of research.
All right, Brett. Anyway, my least one, number five, but still, it's really up there. Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy. I remember getting into this game. And the
What's
feel
a Jedi?
Exactly. That's Brett in a nutshell. What is that? No, like jumping into this game, it. I mean, I guess the story was pretty okay. I mean, there's nothing. It doesn't compare to anything now. Like game stories these days are pretty good, and Star Wars stories are kind of hit and miss, especially in video games. And the books are actually pretty good. I read a few, but the Jedi gameplay was pretty solid, and that's what made this game amazing. You got to be your own Jedi, so stuck with me. And I think that would be a great remaster, and they could throw in better story elements and definitely better mechanics.
I will say I've always wanted them to make a Star Wars game where they strip out, like, I mean, we have Battlefront that just came out, but I want it to be exclusively, let's have some really badass lightsaber melee combat game mechanics. Like, I want that to happen. But that hasn't ever really existed in my mind. I mean, maybe one of these games has. Didn't Jedi Knight have that, where it's like you were just fighting with lightsabers?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this had, maybe it was Jedi Knight 2. I'm not sure. But I know it had a multiplayer component.
You don't even know.
And Devin, well, I didn't play multiplayer. It was just me. I was a lonely child playing video games. But I'm pretty sure Devin was saying that this had a multiplayer component where you can go up against your friends, like 1v1v1.
I think it did. I played it actually multiplayer.
You did? Yeah.
Against Pubs.
I never got to do it.
Pugs.
I might have played it with Travis, but it was weak.
I think I did
Travis,
play this game.
Travis
I
is
played
weak.
I played one of the lightsaber ones where you were just out there just battling each other. And yeah, it was free for all. And you just go round base and just fight each other and jump up, spin around, flurry, attack each other. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure.
That was your number five. My number five is Perfect Dark. That is my choice of remastering awesomeness. If you don't know what Perfect Dark is, I'm sorry. It's a Rare game. Came out by Rare after GoldenEye. I was going to say GoldenEye, but I feel like GoldenEye is the kind of game that I don't ever want to get remastered. I just want it to live in history as that moment in time where I had a blast. But I feel like Perfect Dark is one of those games where I don't have as much nostalgia for it, but I had a blast playing with my friends, four-player cooperative style, not four-player co-op, four-player against each other, where we kill each other. And it was crazy. And that game was just really cool. Just the multi, I didn't really even play the story that much, but it was all about that four-player cooperative experience with your buddies, either one-on-one on one-on-one or two-on-two or whatever it is. I want that remastered. I think that'd be really great. Bring back those memories.
Badass.
Because I want a Switch. Literally.
You want it on the Switch.
Yeah, because then I can take it anywhere and we can just like say, let's play Perfect Dark, guys. Remastered.
Heck
on
yeah.
The Switch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I touched on that or not as a kid. I heard about it. Like, I knew about it. I know it's a game that people played. I don't... Was there a second one?
Yes.
I think Perfect I played Dark the second Zero. One.
That was a shitty game. Perfect Dark 1 was... fantastic. Perfect Dark Zero was.
I might have played it at a friend's house. I think a friend had it, and I played a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
You missed out on a lot of history.
I know.
Like, you know how people think Halo is good. Perfect Dark was better.
Oh, gosh,
that's kind of like where it lands.
Brad,
like,
I don't know if I could trust you.
Yeah, Perfect Dark up here says the guy who's got five Star Wars games.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying.
I mean, you're saying
could have had Super Mario 64 on here.
It was on there for a second, but I decided to go.
Could have had Super Mario Bros.
I was having a nostalgic
Mario
moment.
Party
anyway,
one.
All right, number four for me.
Saying all these things.
It's going to be Star Wars Bounty Hunter, which is another great game.
I've never played this.
The Mandalorian people, or race, I guess they're a race, have always like appealed to me. Like, there's this, you know, very army, macho guy, like. As a kid growing up, I mean, I think we all appeal to that kind of stereotype.
Did you feel like you wanted to be them?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
They had the great armor. Like, Boba Fett was amazing, obviously. And then Jango came out, and I was like, man, I want to be Jango with his double laser pistols and stuff. And, you know, he had a Slave One and all that. Like, I just wanted to be those guys, like, a super badass. And then in this game, we got to live it. And I can only imagine, well, you know, as a kid, you're basically living it. So I can only imagine what a remaster would actually bring us. Especially now, like,
yeah,
all the things we could explore, which
you would have got Star Wars Battlefront 1 from EA DICE.
Yeah,
you know how great that game was.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, let's not do that. But what was it? Prey, the latest Prey.
Yeah,
or what it would have been Prey 2, right?
Yeah,
was basically going to be like a remastered Bounty Hunter in a way. Obviously not Star Wars Universe, but it took some of the same cues, I feel like, from that.
I think so.
Which is kind of
sad.
Well,
even like Star Wars 1313, I think.
Yeah,
Using the... Mm-hmm.
It was a young Jango Fett, I think.
Or something like that, yeah.
Or maybe it was young Boba Fett. I'm not sure.
It looked awesome.
Something like that, yeah.
The young bounty hunter.
And I think a lot of people want to be...
Collect the bounty.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to be like a bounty hunter. And having those games, having games like that is just... I think it's well... I think the Republic... The public will respond pretty decent to that.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So what was the main... I mean, like, this was just like a third-person shooter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lame. All right. Just kidding. That's cool.
You had a missile on your jetpack, man. Flamethrowers
nice.
In your gauntlet. Yeah. Poison nice. Darts in your other gauntlet.
So speaking of a game that never had any of that, my number four... is a game that is near and dear to my heart. My picks are going to be so off the wall. Like, Austin is all Star Wars and, like, shooters and stuff like that. Mine come from, like, five, almost... Well, not really. They're, like, all over the place. Like, one's a 64 game. One is a PlayStation game. One is another 64 game. Another is a PC game. Actually, there's this PC.
Is that kind of an
64.
Attack on me for just being all Star Wars?
No. Yeah, well, I mean, yes, but no.
I mean, just like any kid growing up who loves Star Wars, Brett...
Except for me.
He didn't watch it.
I watched the first three.
Oh, man, Brett.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Anyway, my number four, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Did you ever play that?
I did. Yeah. No, it was really, that was a lot of fun.
I played so much of that first one.
That's insane.
So good. Like, I was so good at tricks. I could just like run up the half pipe, fly back down, do a little grind across the rails, do like a 360 thing down the deal, jump
down the deal.
I don't know the terminology. All I know, I was a badass at it.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
No, it was a lot of fun doing those tricks and then trying to learn those even more like advanced ones it was a lot of fun. I would play with friends, so we trade off.
Yeah.
Every time we fall down, we switch and see who can get the most points. It was a lot of fun.
I miss the days of games like that because like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 was, I think there wasn't even a story to it. I don't think. I think there was just different levels. You had the school, you had the mall, you had like a warehouse that you would play in. There was all these different locations that you would go to. And it was just a open freestyle, just like skate, do that stuff. You pick your character that you wanted. You can get all the different big skaters from back then. And then just do tricks. And now you get like they just had that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 that came out. And they tried to put all this like fluff and junk in it, but then the core game itself just wasn't good.
Yeah.
And like a lot of games today like take those old ideas, but then they like have all these items that you can pick, that you can customize your character with and all these fluffy things that I don't really want. I just want to have fun skating in a sandbox.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? What happened to that? I don't know. Is it different? I don't know.
People just want more stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
They want to feel achievements and things. And I just want to jump into this game. Like, if that game was $50, I'd buy it. I'd play it a lot. It would be awesome.
I mean, it's one of those games you just jump in and have a good time. You don't have to worry about like, oh man, okay, tactical PUBG or like Overwatch or something. You know, it's just like, I'm going to have a good time, see what I can do, see if I can best myself. You know, there's not a lot of stress there, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very chill.
Exactly.
It's a stoner's
dream.
That's
why I liked it. Yeah. I had a fun playing it for that reason. It was just like, just relax and just grind some half pipes.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Do the thing.
Yeah.
So number three, Austin, go for it.
Oh.
Star Wars,
man.
2.
Okay.
5.
All right. All right. Shadows of the Empire.
Okay.
N64.
Never played this either.
You never played this one? Oh, it was great.
Is this a flying one?
No, it's not. Well, I mean, it had flying mechanics in it. So basically, they basically made a character that's just like Han Solo, but not Han Solo. And so he has his own type of Millennium Falcon. Great, like, awesome ship. I forgot what it was called. I actually forgot the main character's name. I apologize for those who are screaming at their screens right now or in their cars yelling. And the person next to you is like, what is going on in that vehicle right now? It's because they're mad at me because I don't know his name. Anyway, you start off on Hoth and you were part of that whole movement there and you end up taking off and you get to like fight some pretty interesting characters and go to some pretty interesting places. And it was like one of the first games that I got to see an expansion to the Star Wars universe as a child. And that was mind blowing in itself.
Dash Rendar.
Thank you. Thank you. What was his counterpart?
Now you're asking me questions. Okay. I don't have the answer to.
Let me see.
Dash Rendar is in the Battle of Hoth. Confronts bounty hunters such as IG-88 and Boba Fett in an attempt to reacquire Han Solo.
Great, great boss battles. Those are just so memorable in my mind. So difficult, too. Like, I had to get friends to come and help me because, you know, I was kind of the slow kid. Like, I didn't get it. Like, I could not get past these things. But, like, finding these characters. And then on top of it, oh, man, they took my money hardcore because I'd go out and they would have Shadows of the Empire toys and I would buy those things.
It's based on a novel.
It is. It is. Great, great book. If you haven't read it, get Shadows of the Empire. It's from the old universe or whatever they're calling it now. I forgot what they called it.
Yeah, I remember seeing this game. I feel like I probably played it because I remember seeing the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I touched into it a little bit, but not a lot because... Yeah.
The story was great. Well, at least as a child, like I remember being amazing and of course like... Again, game mechanics being updated with great graphics. I can only imagine like going to some of these places now and be able to look out for miles, you know.
The creativity they could have with this game because it's basically just like a bunch of like stretch textures across the walls.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just, oh man, it'd be so good. So good.
Well, there you go. Shadows of the Empire. My number three is going to be, this is one of my just glorious moments in life. NFL Blitz. Such a good game. Such a wonderful thing. Touch my heart and soul where you could just tackle people so hard.
Why is this number three?
What do you mean?
Is this number three for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you want number one?
No, I thought this would be like at the bottom.
No, man. This is my shit.
Over Perfect Dark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, I played so much Blitz.
I had no idea.
Blitz. I had all my N64 games. I purposefully kept NFL Blitz because I knew at some point in the future I would play it again. I did that over like all the other games. I sold all of my games except for NFL Blitz and like three others. NFL Blitz was a shit. But, because what I liked
about Call of Duty?
Well, that was PC.
Well, yeah.
You can't sell that back.
Well, no, I'm not. I know, but like.
I still have it.
But time wise, like, I thought that was like.
That's another one that I don't want to ever get redone.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
I just want to exist.
You just said
in
that
history.
Blitz was your jam. And you put a lot of time into it, but yeah. I thought Call of Duty is the one you put a lot of time into.
Yeah, yeah, but I probably am. It's probably comparable with Blitz.
Really?
Yeah, I played a lot. Dang. I played a lot of the 64.
Dang.
But I just played games that people probably never really played. But I mean, like, just Blitz is one of those games that you can get all your friends together. Can play through it. My parents would play this game with me. My dad, actually. My mom would not want to play it. But I just love the fact that you had no rules. Like, I played Madden back then, and everything you had to follow the rules. And in this game, it's like, if you want to go off sides and you want to like just run the line early and just tackle the shit out of this guy, you can do that. And it was great. And then you could like put all the cheat codes were the best. They had cheat codes in there where you could like have flaming heads and stuff, or you could have your football like on fire, or give yourself big heads, or you could have guys that had super fast legs.
Okay.
And
okay,
there was so many things.
This is the one that a lot of people talk about, isn't it?
Yes.
Blitz. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Has turbo. Yeah. Got the turbo that you can run really fast and get all. I mean, I used to just go crazy. I had all the plays I'd run through. Yeah. It was awesome.
No, I get that. I get that. Yeah. Sadly, I never played it.
I'd always go for the Hail Marys. I was like, I'm going to get this freaking long shot. But then sometimes I'd be like, screw it. I'm just going to start doing running plays. And there was times where I just like run, like, you know, get 10 yards, 15 yards, 10 yards here, 7 yards there. And I just destroy people. It's awesome.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know you then.
I know. And anyway, you could also play against CPU. So I play the CPU a lot. And then whenever I could get my friends to play, I would play them and I'd destroy them. And then they'd stop playing with me. I was good at that game, surprisingly. Great.
Brett Yanosky, everybody.
They have it in arcade mode now, which is even cooler.
Very nice.
So they've had it in arcade, but like I can still live that memory by playing the arcade and stuff because I don't have controllers for my 64.
Cool. Right now. Cool. All right, moving on. Number two for me, the big one, Star Wars Republic Commando. Now, I'm pretty sure you heard of this one. It was out on the Xbox.
Nope.
Really? God dang, I guess you just stayed away from Star Wars. Oh, that's true, that's true. So basically, it was like...
I heard of everything on your list except for this one. Really? I mean, I know of it,
right?
But I never played it.
So it's just... it was actually co-op, and it was couch co-op, too. So you can do up to... I think you could only do two people, but you had four Republic Commandos back during the Geonosis War, so the beginning of the Clone War. And you go do all these, like, you're like the special elite squad. So you go and, you know, take out political leaders and stuff like that and subterfuge and just wreak havoc. And so it was you and four guys, and me and Travis would play this so much. Like, we would play this over and over and over again, put on a hard mode and just, you know, try to get through. We had such a great time. Again, like, expanding that universe into other worlds, especially during that time when, you know, it was the prequel era and... getting to know what happened during that, like in the voice acting, the lines were just phenomenal. It really gave everyone its own character, especially when the clones weren't supposed to, they're all supposed to be the same, you know, same voices, they kind of think the same, you know, train differently, obviously, but you know,
it's funny how, you know, back then there was so many Star Wars games that were being cranked out. And there was a lot of good memories of those games. And then all of a sudden you saw this like dead zone because nobody can make games for it.
Right.
And now it's solely owned by EA and that sucks.
Yeah. No, it really does. It ruins
the world.
Yeah. You, there are a lot of people who want to dive in and really build out you know, certain sections of the universe and put a mark on it, you know, and you can't do that anymore. And it's really sad, you know. So they were going to have Republic Commando 2, but that got nicked somewhere along the way. Anyway.
You know what this game looks like? I know why you like this game. This looks like a Star Wars version of Halo.
Yeah. No, it basically is.
Basically Halo is Star Wars.
They had a lot of cool mechanics. Like your machine gun, you can turn that into a rifle or turn into a grenade launcher. Like you didn't need to pick up other guns. They had other guns too, like heavier weapons that some of the enemies would drop. But you could just do that, and then, you know, it was awesome. Yeah.
So what would you want from this game? Like if they remastered it, would you just want it to be the same game just with better graphics? Or?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the mechanics were pretty solid. I mean, I'm sure they can be polished a little more and added some new things. But overall, like, I think solid story, solid characters, solid gameplay. Just give me the better graphics and I'll be good to go. Maybe expand on it a little more here and there. So, all right, Brett, what's your number two?
Number two, it is not a Star Wars game.
Surprise,
it is a
surprise.
World War game, Battlefield 1942.
Very nice.
That is my remastered game. Yes, you will say they made Battlefield 1943. Yes, you will say that this year we're getting Battlefield 5. I do hope it is World War II, but I do want this one to be remastered because it was just great. Everything about it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first of its kind, and the maps were awesome. The textures were terrible. The expansion packs were incredible. I want this to exist again because those maps were just wonderful, wonderful things.
This is one of those times I wish they wouldn't be... Well, I'm probably at this point for this game, they wouldn't get so upset, but people going and making remasters on their own, building it from scratch, like,
yeah, because this was just multiplayer. Like they had a single player version that basically you would just fight against bots,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that. But like I remember so fondly, Omaha Beach was one of the maps that they had,
mm-hmm,
and it was so great because it was so incredibly one sided, in that, you know, the Germans would be on the beach up on the hills, and they'd have to just sit up there and defend. And they had one tank that they could use. That was it. They have one tank, maybe two, but they had like at least one tank up there, and that was, they could just like lob tank shells onto the beach. And then you'd have the Allies that were out on a ship, so they could like launch like shots from the ship out onto the beachhead. But otherwise,
that's
like
cool.
They had to get in U-boats and drive onto the land and then try and avoid gunfire from like machine gun positions and stuff like that. And it was so... That was the one of those just super intense moments. And it was really, really hard to win on Allies. But when you did, you were like, fuck yes. I did it. And I think the Allies had one tank on the ground. So there's like one tank versus one tank. But it was mostly infantry combat.
I like that, yeah. I like that.
And it was just so good. And then they had Iwo Jima. They had Coral Sea, which is a great map. They had, what was it? Guadalcanal was this really long, narrow map. They, like, because they had the Pacific region that was focused on. They had the European theater, and they had, I think it was like Africa, like Northern Africa, which were maps like El Alamein and different things like that. Those were really cool, but they were huge, huge, vast expanses of maps. But the ocean maps were awesome because you were on an island. You had your tanks. You had your jeeps. You had the boats that you could drive the boats back then, which now you can drive them, I think, in Battlefield 1 probably.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while there, they didn't let you do that. But I would just sit in a boat and just like drive around the island slowly and stuff like that, like the big, huge boats.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And then they had submarines that you could also go up and down and that stuff with. And it was just, I mean, this was 2002. Like, this was 16 years ago that this was things that you could do.
That's impressive for that game. Wow.
So good.
Wow.
That one I had based on X-Fire. Because X-Fire came out, I think, during the time I was playing that game.
So when you have more than what you
had. 400 hours logged. Yeah, I had more than that, probably. Call of Duty, I had about 700.
To be a kid again and just
have that time.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
So Battlefield would be awesome. And I'm excited to see what they do with this new one. And I hope it kind of relives that life that I had back then.
Very
that
nice. Game. Well, for my number one, which I wish they had X-Fire for the Xbox at this point, because I put in at least 200 hours on this game. So my number one is Knights of the Old Republic.
This was BioWare, wasn't it?
This was BioWare.
Yeah.
So it was the first game. Well, obviously, I was just like, oh, cool, Star Wars game. I want to try it. And getting into it was a little difficult. As anyone knows, a BioWare game is. It's not your typical game, but got in. Great RPG. Great story. It had me at the beginning, and it kept pushing me through each time, or at each plot point. Like, I just want to know more. I want to see more. I want to explore more. Like, it was my first game where I was able to actually talk to people, and there would be a different outcome every time.
Yeah, they had the Paragon. They have the communication system.
Yeah, they had the Paragon and the light and Renegade. The dark side. So, you know, you get to choose. And so I was like, oh, cool. I want to be like, you know, who I am. And then I'm going to be super good, and I'm going to be super bad, and I'm going to be like really like super in the middle. And, you know, just it was the first game I was able to be like, okay, I'm going to go back and do something completely different. I'm going to go explore this one area I never got to do before. And now that's kind of like all games.
Yeah.
They have that. And you know, we saw that really like another BioWare game with Mass Effect. Huge on that, and that was another game that I really, really enjoyed playing. But you know, being a Star Wars game, obviously lightsabers, you could do really cool things, find different stuff. You can make your own weapons and, you know, currencies, all the side missions, exploring these worlds. And there's actually hub worlds in a way, early form of hub worlds, if I'm not mistaken. I'm really trying to look back now. It's been a while, but yeah,
on Xbox, you can get it on backwards compatibility.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could play that now, but if it was remastered, and they had someone trying to remaster this game, but I guess it was Disney at this point. It was like, you need to cut this off. We can't have you do this. And it's just like, dang it. Why can't, if you're not going to do it, let someone else do it, especially if they're not going to make any money. What's the point? Just let them do it.
Well, you know, they make money on it. Like, it would totally make money. Knights of the Old Republic, just put that name on it.
Well, I know, but I mean, if you put it out for free for everybody, like, I guess to them, they're like, well, that's just money lost that we could be making or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Disney's like, well, we want to make money from it. We don't want it to just be free. I don't know. It's really sad. I got really excited for it. But yeah, I at minimum 200 hours in that game. I played that game over and over.
That's
and over
one
and
I
over.
Wish I had played, because that's like, yeah, I love Mass Effect, and I feel like this is something I would have enjoyed because mm-hmm. it's Mass Effect, yeah. but it's in the same sci-fi kind of world.
Yeah. I mean, they have great cliff.
Science that, fantasy.
The for my little mind, that revelation at the end
little mind.
Was just, I was floored. I was floored. The story just floored me.
They made a second one of this, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. I played some of that. I didn't play it all the way through, I don't think. I didn't think it was good as the first one. So, like, the characters were pretty solid.
It was like an Andromeda?
No. It was that bad, man. It was like Mass Effect 3. I'll put it that way. Going from Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 3. Great games, just okay. Not as good as the first one. Or the second one. Whatever. Anyway.
Number one. The one that trumps all. The ultimate. Number one.
Oh, this is good, Brett. It's a good drum roll for it.
But here's the thing, though, about this one. Number one, Half-Life.
Oh.
Remastered.
Oh.
But.
Wait, Half-Life 2 or Half-Life? Because I already have Half-Life.
No, I want the orange box of Half-Life 1, 2, and the episodes, and then add 3 into that shit. And call it, just bring it out with 3 Roman numerals, like 1, 1, 1. Put a orange background on it, 1, 1, 1 in black. Drop it on the shelves. Billion copies sold. Day
billion,
one.
Billion.
Day one.
Most successful game sold. Game box sold. Dude, that's a good. That is really a good one.
That'd be so good.
That is really a good one.
Yeah.
I was thinking about actually playing Half-Life 2 again.
Yeah, this is good.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Half-Life 2 is good. Life 1's good. They actually remastered that. They made Black Mesa, which was a community-built mm-hmm. remastering. Mm-hmm. But I think if Valve... Now that Valve's making games again, yes, they're doing it. Excited. Hopefully they jump into that bandwagon, like make something awesome. I'm so sad because they left me on such a cliffhanger with Half-Life.
Oh, man.
Half-Life 2 Episode 2 or whatever. They didn't even finish it.
Yeah.
Because they were making the episodes. They had 1, they had 2... Two ended with this huge cliffhanger. They were like going out to Aperture somewhere, and they were bringing the portal universe together.
Should we spoil this for people? I mean, what about the youngins out there that don't know anything?
I mean, it's if you don't know this by now, if you haven't played it, then sorry.
Spoilers, I guess. Go for it, Brett.
I mean, that's all it is. It's just that. But like, I just want to.
Yeah, it was a great world.
Gordon Freeman and G-Man, freaking Alex Vance. Like, so good. So good.
Captured a generation for sure. I mean,
yes. Yeah. Headcrabs.
Oh, man.
Return to Ravenholm.
Oh, so good.
Give me some Ravenholm Remastered.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I dribble over that, man.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so that's what I want. Orange so, box.
Before we go forward. Before we go forward.
No, we got to close it out, man.
No.
It's time to close it out.
No.
Time to cancel.
All right. So I have from Devin his top five.
Oh, really?
Without any explanation. So Luis's is on the way. He's like, oh, shit, right now? I was like, yes, right now. We're doing this live. Oh,
my gosh.
Kind of. So I don't know some of these games, but here we go. I'm going to go from number one to number five. I'll go 5-1. So at number five, Ghouls and Ghosts. Number four, Super Metroid.
Hell yeah.
Number three, Final Fantasy VIII.
Really?
Yeah. 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
I feel like everybody would have gone for 7.
I don't know.
Wait, let me see.
Wait, is that right? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, that's 8. Okay.
Cool. Roman numerals. Yeah, they just throw me through the loop.
Yeah.
Number two, Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. And number one, ActRaiser.
I'm surprised you didn't put a Legend of Zelda in there.
I know. I got on a thing here, okay? Let me ride my thing. There's a million games I want remastered, man.
It's a million things, apparently.
I'm telling you.
Wait, so what was his first one?
His first one, number one or number five?
One, or the top.
Oh, the top one is ActRaiser.
ActRaiser.
So I don't know what that is, actually. I have no idea.
We are terrible people.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Oh, ActRaiser, Super Nintendo. Yeah, I remember this one. Never played it.
I don't think I played that either.
I was crawling at this point when this game came out. You know, doing that thing. Pokemon would have been a good one. The original Pokemon. Well, no, I don't want that remastered. ActRaiser would be pretty sick, though. That looks like it would be a fun game. Like, fully remastered. But I wonder if... See, some of these games is hard because do you want it to be remastered where you just better the graphics? Like, this is a side-scrolling, like, 16-bit, 8-bit game or whatever. Like, do you want it, like, remastered? Just, like, better visuals? Or do you want it to be... Because they tried that with Secret of Mana, and that fell on its face.
You know, he probably wants Octopath Traveler remastered type. That would be cool.
But it's brand new.
Well, I know, but that, like, cool... You know, very stylistic.
Oh, like that style applied to this game or something. Oh, gotcha.
No, that's just my take. I don't know. He might not want that, but
that could be interesting.
I'm just thinking. All right, so we got Luis's right here. I'm just going to go down the line. I don't think they're in order. But Burnout 3, Paper Mario, NFL Street, Chrono Trigger, and Banjo.
I can see that from Luis.
Yeah.
I can see
that. Yeah, it's very Luis.
Yeah, games. Burnout. It's so funny. We had similar interests in that stuff. Cause like I would totally do Burnout. I would totally do Banjo Kazooie.
Right,
I'm all about that.
Right.
What was the other ones?
You had Paper Mario, NFL Street, and then Banjo.
NFL Street. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Those
I played
good
NFL
ones.
Street too. That was a good game.
Yeah.
Played a lot of sports games when I was younger.
I see that.
Oh, I should have said NBA Jam. Oh, that's number six. NBA Jam.
Yeah, we're cutting it off. This is good. Cool. We covered a lot.
We'll have a round two later on where we're going to do the top 10 of it.
Jeez.
And then we'll do the top 100 remastered
collections. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Anyway, that is going to conclude our discussion topic this week. If there's something that you want to hear us talk about, please let us know at hello@thenergamer.net. Make sure that if you are listening to this, you check out the video of this segment every Thursday at youtube.com/TheInnerGamer.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have one game coming out next week, and it is a game that's coming out on April 17th, which is next Tuesday. So you're listening to this on Tuesday, the 10th. Next Tuesday, we have on PS4, Yakuza 6, The Song of Life. This is the final story of Haruka, the character of the game. And apparently this game is really, really good. It's like GTA-ish, but like Japanese and stuff like that.
Has a pretty good cult following.
Yeah. But basically this game is huge and awesome and unlike anything you've ever seen. It's brand new on the PS4. And yeah, it's got the Japanese CD underworld with detailed visuals, lifelike animations, a new physics engine, interactive storefronts, seamless transitions, and much, much more. So this game looks pretty cool. There's some neat stuff to it. I've never been into Yakuza, but it sounds like it is has a good story, has some good battling, lots of things to explore and see. So
heck yeah.
Might be worth checking out.
Good deal.
Yeah. So that's everything that we have for video games and everything.
Oh,
so
sad day.
It's going to wrap up our show. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend. And also, April 27th, mark your calendar now because it's, as of the time you're listening to this podcast, 17 days away. We are going to be having events in Dallas-Fort Worth, Community Brewery. It will be from 6 to 10 p.m. There will be virtual reality there, courtesy of Flight School VR. We'll be playing Island Time VR. We're going to be drinking some beers. We're going to be eating some tacos, playing some video games. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have fun. You should be there because it's not like there's anything else happening that night. I mean, don't worry about Avengers. That's just ignore that part. Just don't go see it. Just
come here before or after your showing and
exactly.
Have a few beers. We'll be there waiting for you.
Yeah. What else we got, Austin?
So, we also have a Patreon setup, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear. Even a dollar a month will help us keep the content coming to you every week. Plus, if you support us on... Support us. If you support us on Patreon, we had some awesome rewards. I'm dying over here.
Apparently.
Waiting for you... such as being a guest on the podcast or getting exclusive content. So head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Brady Noski.
And you've been listening to
The Inner Gamer.
It is weird with only two people.
Yes, it is weird with two people.
My face is not happy. I'm gonna go get some more.